Announcements. Happy Veterans Day. Thanks to everybody who was in the military here. We have some who came very close to losing their lives and some who left a lot of friends on in Vietnam and other places. If you're a veteran, man or woman, you stand up, please, and let us recognize you and just clap for you and thank you. Appreciate that. Well, thank you for that. We certainly appreciate what you've done and those today who are doing the same. Thanksgiving, November the 22nd. Hope you enjoy that. On the 25th, the Sunday after Thanksgiving, bring food here and we'll have dinner here after service. And just bring leftovers. We don't care what you bring. And we'll enjoy that Sunday. That'll be good. Keep you from cooking again. And if we like that, we did this once before, didn't we, down at the hotel, and we enjoyed that. And we might do it once a month or something, whatever the ladies' auxiliary decides. Patsy, you are the ladies' auxiliary, aren't you? Okay. All right, now we're starting a clothes closet. If you'd like to bring clothes here that are suitable for wearing, there are a lot of people here who could use them. And give Nan, she'll take care of it, put them somewhere. And those of you who need some clothes, a coat for the winter or whatever, please don't get regular on me, okay? If you need clothes, then you tell us you need clothes. If you are hungry, you tell us, and we will feed you, okay? Please don't get regular on me. If somebody brought some sweaters by the house for poor people the other day, I kept two of them. Right? Yeah. All right. Yes, sir. The other poor can fight over the rest. Hey, everything's used 5 minutes after you buy it. Please understand that. You buy a new Cadillac, as soon as the ground touches your wheels off that lot, you just lost $5,000. Please understand that. It's now a used car. Don't get regular on us. We're not going to have it. All right. George Sloan estimates the payments on the van for the little the babies will be $150 a month. If you want to make a whole payment, wonderful. You make your check out to BB&T. That's the bank in Charlotte. And just slip it in that box sometime during the year. If you just want to help with a payment, then put it in that box right there. And we'll see that it gets to the right place. And we'll get the van paid for. Thank you. A lady came up last week and had no idea. I said, here. I said, thank you. And read the card when I went home. And it was for the little ones. And it was a $200 check to pay on that van. And I said, there ain't no way. You know. I said, there's no way. And I said, isn't that something that somebody would do that? Because I know what she does, and she does well with her work, but it's quite difficult for her to do that. And the Wise family is really appreciating that van. I'm telling you, I wanted somebody to get a picture of little Bradley last when we were outside there. He was propped up inside with his little nubs on the steering wheel and sunglasses on, and he looked like he was driving it. I said, I could hear him saying, I believe I can do this. So, love that little boy, I'm telling you. Well, thank you for all the help, all the things you're doing. We thank you for helping our family. We couldn't exist if it weren't for you. I never take that for granted. And we thank you for being here every Sunday and bring people. It's the only way they'll come is if you bring them. We have no advertising program other than the sign Ann glued to the door up there last week. And but you tell people and they'll come. And hopefully they're looking for something, and we hope they can find it here. And who was it passed away this week? What was his name? Larry Waddell passed away. When was it, Bobby?
Yesterday? Yeah, okay. Well, you tell his wife if there's anything we can do to get in touch with us and we'd help him anyway. You know, he just had a massive heart attack. He's only 52, and he's gone. So you never know what's going to happen. Best thing to do is get ready. So this morning we shall pray, and then we shall attempt to expound the Word of God. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you would allow us to assemble together in your name this morning. We'll come to you in the name of Jesus and thank you for all you've done for us. We ask that you be with Larry's family in their hour of grief, Lord, and that you lift them up and that you care for them. If we can do anything, send them to us. And thank you for all those who have come today. And this is a divine appointment. Nobody's here by accident. And you bring people our way, Lord, that might not go anywhere else. And it's an awesome responsibility to know that we have the words of life that you have given. And that we issue them forth, and the difference in hearing them and not hearing them, and believing them and not believing them, is the eternal difference between spending eternity with you or without you. So, Lord, be with me as we attempt to expound your holy word. Remove me from this place that you be heard. Anything I say that should be forgotten, please let it be. And that which should be remembered, please let it be too. That if there be one here within the sound of my voice who knows you not as Savior, Lord, and King, that today their entire life will be changed and they'll leave here a new creature in Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. If you brought a Bible, Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40, at verse 10, Isaiah, Old Testament prophet, please understand, he wrote in the 8th century B.C. And Isaiah contains things that are happening today and shall happen in the future. He predicted the captivity of Israel and that they would be delivered. They were in exile when he wrote this. He predicted what John the Baptist would say and do. He predicted the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and never knew him. It is amazing, as Dr. Paisley of Ulster says, every time I come to this book, it only serves to remind me of my abysmal ignorance. And I'll sit and for hours look here, and it'll send me over here, and it'll send me back there, and send me back there. And I said, surely it ends somewhere. And it sends you over here, and it keeps going and keeps going until you realize that it's unending, in the depth of which you will never plumb. And the wonder of it and what it does for you to sit there and read the actual words of God and what he had to say to you, that alone will change your life. And we want to talk to you this morning because we take God for granted too much sometimes, don't we? Now we take him as we do electricity. You know, we say, we'll get you a TV and plug it in the wall. And I said, I don't have a wall. Oh, I thought everybody had a wall. I don't have electricity. And you meet a man like that, all that goes away, doesn't it? And we take God for granted sometime. And I've found out through talking with people that in general, they have no God at all, or the God they have is far too small. So I said, we need to talk about that this morning. And went to Brother Isaiah because he knew him so well. And he has written in this 40th chapter, actually from chapter 40 through 58, but we can't read all that. He gives the wonders of God and begins to tell about who he is. And Isaiah speaks in metaphors, in metaphorical language that is so beautiful. And it wasn't him. He wasn't a poet. You got to understand, 2 Timothy 3:16 says that all scripture, old and new, was given by God. In the Greek, it's posgraphe theonostos. It means God breathed. He breathed into these people what he wanted written, as he wanted it written. And so when you hear and read the accounts and the descriptions of God here, this is what God wanted you to hear about himself, because it's the only way he could make us understand and get some kind of vision of who he is and what he is and his majesty. And so when you hear people, and I don't know what it does to you, I hear them on TV and I don't watch much anymore. I'll see, oh God this, oh God that, have no idea that that's taking the Lord's name in vain. You see, anytime you use the name of God emptily, that's what vain means. It's emptily using his name. And the old Jewish prophets, they didn't do that. And the scribes, they didn't do that. And when they came to the name of God, they'd set down the pen and get up and go and wash their hands and come back and get a new pen. And then they could write the name of God. Then they put that pen down. Every time they came to it, if it was three words over, they went through that exercise, for they revered the name of the Lord. And we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. And so when our God is too small, we tend to forget his power. So this morning we want to talk a little bit about that. In Isaiah 10, Isaiah said, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And as in Psalm 23, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young." Then he gives his description of this God. Who is this God, and what can we get a picture of him like? And Isaiah asked the question rhetorically, "Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and measured out heaven with the span, and measured the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance?" And he gives us a picture of God in that verse, of someone who, you see the ocean, and we see a small portion of it here, and it covers 3/5 or 5/6 of the earth, and we only see a little bit here. We got a postcard view here. If we get out on the beach there, we have a larger view of several miles and several miles out. But when you think of the whole oceans, that this water starts right here and goes around the world and covers 5/6 of the earth, and Isaiah says, "Our God measured that in the hollows of his hands," that he's larger than that, that he's bigger than the oceans as far as just being able to measure that in the hollows of his hands, and that he measured the dust of the earth in a measure. As you ladies get ready for Thanksgiving, you measure out a little flour for this and a little, and you take a measuring cup and you put the fine flour in here. And Isaiah pictures God with a measuring cup, and measuring all the dust of the earth in a measuring cup. How grand and how great and how descriptive. And he said, and he weighs the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance. And I was studying this and reading it and trying to get my pictures together. And that reminded me, I passed not long ago a small church that my daddy preached at as a guest evangelist between Columbia and Sumter. They're on the right, about 30 miles out, 25. And I remembered him preaching there, and me as a little boy sitting there and listening to him. And we stayed with the farmers across the way, and the cotton field is still there. It doesn't have cotton anymore. But I remembered I made friends with one of the little black boys on the farm, and we became buddies for the 2 weeks my dad was going to be there preaching. And he said, "Have you ever picked cotton?" And I said, "No, I've seen a cotton field, but I'm a city boy. I've never done that." And he said, "Well, you meet me out here in the morning, and we'll go pick cotton with my mama." And so I met them, and we got out and picked cotton to the best of my ability, and he was quite faster, but his mama could handle it. Because when she got to the end of the day and she had her sack, she put her cotton on a big burlap apron, And they would fold it up and put it on a hook, and I knew what they were doing. I still don't know how they did it. But that thing, however it weighed, is how she got paid. And I remember those scales to this day. And we didn't help her much, but we helped her a little bit more that day than she could have done on her own. And we were glad to do that. And I said, we're weighing 50 pounds, 100 pounds of cotton balls here for this lady to get paid. And here God weighs the mountains and the hills in a scale. It's nothing to him. And verse 13 says, who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor hath taught him, with whom took he counsel? And who instructed him? And taught him in the path of justice, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding. And Isaiah is asking the question, look, who taught God? And no one taught him. And I had an old evangelist friend who used to use the phrase, he'd say, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurred to God? He already knew it all. And the gates of heaven don't open every morning to see if the newspaper's there. And God doesn't check his email. He already knows. And it's hard for us to comprehend a being who already knows. And it was more difficult when we were young because we didn't have computers. And we had a filing cabinet, and it can hold a certain amount of files. And then they'd show us in the newsreels at the movie theaters the filing cabinets the IRS had, and they would seemingly go for miles because they had files on everybody in the country. And we thought that was wonderful that anything could contain that much knowledge. And now they're going to come out with a computer this year that will do 4 trillion. What do you call them, Anne? Operations? 4 trillion they do it in 1 second. I can't even say 4 trillion in 1 second. And yet we have come this far, and that's just the mind of man doing that. And yet God laughs at that and said, is that all y'all can remember? Is that all you know? You mean that's all the information you have? Shame on you. Shame on you. I've got birds that fly, and they're born in South America, and they come up here, and then they stay the summer. And when it gets too cool, they fly back to South America, and they have no map and no navigational center, and no star system on board, and nobody to consult with. And Bob McGinnis, my lifelong friend, is here today, and we sit out on his patio sometime, and he has a little, what are the little bitty ones that come? What are they, Bobby? Hummingbirds, that's exactly right. And we name them, and they come, and there's one. And a hummingbird comes back to the same feeder every year. That's not a different bird coming to your place. That's the same one. And he flies to South America for the winter. And we laughingly say, because Bobby will put sugar water out for him. And he said, man, I got to gain 5 pounds. I got to fly to South America. I got to gain 5 grams he's got to gain. And this little bird with that little brain, God's taken care of him, and he has his instructions. And what a God that'll take care of a little bird like that. And I'm going to worry? I don't think so. 15, he said, behold, the nations are like a drop of a bucket. That's where the old saying came from, by the way, that you've used in your lifetime. Oh, it's just a drop in a bucket to what's on. That's where it came from. And he said the nations, all of them, are just a drop in a bucket and counted as small dust of the balance. There's one or two of you here who have weighed dust in the balance. I'm aware of that. And you wanted to make sure all the dust got off that scale and into your pocket, didn't you? And the dust of the balance is just that fine part that you can't see. But he's weighed the dust of the balance. He takes care of everything. And then says it. He takes up the coast as a very little thing. That's the entire coast around the entire lands that we have in our entire world. And boy, we look out here and say, isn't this marvelous? 60 miles, the Grand Strand. Isn't this something? World's widest beach, they say. And my wife laughs every time somebody says that to her. And she was an army brat stationed in Panama. And when the tide went out, you walked 2 miles to find the water. That's the world's widest beach. But we're proud of this one. But it says God takes all of that as a very little thing. It was nothing to him to make that. And so we go to worship him, and people through the ages have invented religions, and so they'd kill a goat or a bull or a pigeon or whatever they had, and they're going to worship God. And Isaiah said, Lebanon, the country, Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor its beasts sufficient, all of them, for a burnt offering unto him. You see, he saw fit that the Jews would have a sacrificial system as a picture of the only sacrifice that he would ever really accept for the forgiveness of sin. And that's when he came himself and manifested himself as a man, and then he was sacrificed on an old rugged cross and shed his blood that I could be saved and that you could be saved and we could spend eternity with him. There was only one sacrifice good enough, and that was his own. That was himself. And the God that Isaiah describes and can't describe big enough for what he really is the God who said the only answer those people are going to have to their problems is me. And the only way I can solve this problem, it's too big for man to solve. And the only way that those sins can pay paid for is if God dies and pays for them himself. So in his way of doing things, Jesus was manifested as a baby, lived without sin, and became a preacher. Oh, people, if you'll just trust in me, I'll forgive you, sin. I said, well, how are you going to do that, carpenter? I said, well, I'm not just a carpenter. Travel with me for 3 years and find out who I am. And they traveled and found out, and then those who were closest to him really didn't understand what he meant. One day they came and got him and arrested him and held a kangaroo court and nailed him to a cross in a tree that he had created and dropped it in a hole in the ground that he had made. And the one sacrifice was poured out as his blood came down his side and down that tree and hit the ground, shed for me. The only sacrifice God Almighty could accept for my sin. Isaiah said, all nations before him are nothing. And they're counted to him less than nothing. And vanity, which means emptiness. Then he asked the question, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto him? And don't we try to do that? Don't we try to do that? Even today I hear people say, well, he's practically a god. They'll talk about a Hollywood star or rock musician. And you make no mistake about it. When you flash by MTV and you see the people by the thousands bowing down to some band, screaming and breaking the guitars, unfortunately not on each other's heads, you make no mistake about it, that's worship. When they bow down in reverence and obeisance before those people, please understand, that's worship. And all worship is to go to God. All glory and praise and honor is to go to God. Because this God did what I just explained for you and I. And who are you going to compare? Or what likeness will you compare unto him, Isaiah said. Then he shows the foolishness of some and says, the workman melts and casts an image, and the goldsmith spreads it over with gold and then casts silver chains to put around it. He that's so impoverished or can't afford the gold and has no oblation, he chooses a tree that will not rot. And he seeks a skillful workman to prepare a carved image that shall not be moved. And I read that and thought about the fellow down the street with the saw that does the whales and the pigeons and all that on the highway that he carves. And they're so beautiful. But his porpoise can't swim. It can't go up north by here for a little while. Find out they don't have grits and turn around and come back. You see them doing it all the time. See? His birds are beautiful, but they can't fly. And these people would have gods they would make, and they'd bow down to them. In fact, it got so bad that God Moloch was one who had arms out like this, and they'd build them 10, 15, 20 feet high. And they were made of brass. And in the bottom was a furnace. And they would heat the furnace so hot that the god's arms would turn red from the heat. And then in their foolishness, they would lay babies on the arms. This is what God worships. This is what a man worships is God. How sick. How sad. That they don't know the true and living God, and our God doesn't do that. And then Isaiah asked the question, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and inhabitants thereof are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens that we see like curtains and spreads them out as if they were a pup tent to dwell in. Don't you understand who he really is? It's he who brings the princes to nothing, and he makes the judges of the earth as vanity, as if they didn't exist. They shall not be planted. They won't last. They shall not be sown. They're not going to grow. Their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they'll wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. And then he asked, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. Who bringeth out their host by number, that's the stars. And he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For his strong in power, not one faileth. And I was amazed the other day, Ann was on the computer and they show the different screen savers, they call them. And they showed one of stars in living color. And the reds and the blues and the beautiful colors back in space that you can't see with the naked eye. And now they can photograph them. And they showed this beautiful portion of the sky millions upon millions of light years away in living, beautiful color. And I said, that's the way God sees them. And he not only sees them, that's the way he made them. And he not only made them, he named them. And I'm amazed because I read not long ago that several stood in the yard of a church and said, I believe there's 48 stars. We've counted them several times. And it wasn't many more years before someone said, no, we forgot it's daytime on the other end of the earth when it's night here. So it's night, there's got to be over 100. There must be over 100. People said, surely not. And they invented a telescope and could see a little way as the ships used to come and look for land, and they weren't very powerful. But someone said, you're going to be amazed, there are thousands of stars. And today we have the electron microscopes and telescopes and peer into space and satellites that go beyond Mars, and they peer even further. And now they come back and say there's not only billions of stars, there are billions of galaxies, and it seems to be unending. But someone sits upon the circle, it says here. And I know that someone as a personal friend and Lord and Savior. The world not going to shake this boy. And Isaiah said, why sayest thou, O Jacob, speaking to Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and the justice due to me is passed away from my God. And those of you here, like myself, from time to time have had hidden sins that you only know about. And you really think nobody saw you. And you really think nobody knows. And you really think there's not going to be an accounting. And you really think, because you didn't get struck by lightning, that God must not have seen that. Bad news. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest Israel, my ways hidden from the Lord? And the justice due to me is passed away from my God. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There's no searching of his understanding. Here's the good news. But he gives power to the faint. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. And even the youths shall not faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord, and the word wait there means hope, who has hope in, who has trust in. But they that trust upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And verse 10 of the next section says, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I'll help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. All they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded. They shall be as nothing. And they that strive with thee shall perish. Isn't it good to know you're going to win before the game starts? Isn't it good to know that this God provided salvation for you? You say, well, I don't have a picture of him, and I have no idol, and God is spirit, and I just can't get it together, and I just can't see him. Well, we'll get over here and see if he doesn't give us a picture. And we find that old John, in his gospel in the New Testament, he has the answer. He said, I'm going to give you this God's picture. And concludes one of his chapters by saying, and we know that the Son of God is come. and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. So we find ourselves in the 20th century, 3,000 years from when Isaiah penned his words, still somewhat confounded and kind of believing in God and kind of praying to somebody, but we don't really have that picture. And while we pray, we doubt a little bit, saying, I hope God can handle this, unknowing that it's the God I just described through Isaiah. Unknowing that it's he who is all powerful, knows all, is in all, and can do all. And we hope you understand a little bit better who he is. For his name is Jesus. And he said, I am God. And I'll shed my blood. And I will make the payment for your sin. And you shall be forgiven. And you shall live with me forever. In fact, I'm going to bug out of here and start working on your house now. And one day, I'm going to come back and get you. For the sole reason that you can be with me for eternity. And I said, thank God cares that much for me. And the book said, yeah. One little insignificant person, and the book said, yeah. As a matter of fact, he said that he would leave the 99 who were already safe and come into the wilderness if I was lost. If I was the only one, he'd leave all the rest. And just come and do it for me. I said, what a God. What a Savior. What caring and what mercy. And how can anyone know of him and refuse his offer to be saved? I'll never understand. So if you're here this morning and know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you pray a little just as the cars come in to hit you head on, but not on a regular basis. You don't have somebody to take your burdens to. You don't know anybody who loves you enough to pay you out of hell. I'd like to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I'll do it. I'm authorized, and I'll make the payment. Well, what I have to do, all you have to do is receive it, just like a Christmas gift. You don't pay for the Christmas gift someone gives, you just receive it. That's why it's a gift. And he said, I'm willing to do this for you if you're willing to accept it. He leaves it to you. So as we pray this morning, if you know not Christ as Savior, it's real simple, just where you are. We don't ask you to raise your hand to come to the front. For those who do that, that's fine. But we just say where you are, just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I really didn't understand your greatness, and I really didn't understand that you cared for me that much. But I believe this now. And I'm going to call upon you to be my Savior. And then let me grow in your grace and the knowledge of your word. And let me understand who you really are. And get into the depth of what you really did. Just because you love me. And you pray that prayer this morning as we pray, if you are here without a Savior, shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good it is that we have a God to pray to who has no comparison. It's not a God we chose out of a selection of gods to choose from, because the scriptures say there's only one. There's none beside him, nor will they ever be. And we thank you that you cared enough for man that you created, that when we blew it, you said, I'll pick up the pieces and I'll weld them back together with my blood. I'll put you in my hand and no man shall ever take it out. None shall be lost that have been given to me. And I thank you one day that someone explained the gospel to me. And I thank you that I was dumb enough to be smart enough to just accept it. And I thank you that you allow me to make this offer in your name to other people. It is awesome. And if there be one here who knows you not as Savior, may the day be the day they say, Lord Jesus, save me and keep me in your family forever. Thank you for your goodness and your love. Give safe travel to those who are on the road. Bring us again to this place that we may worship thee, praise your name, and hear your word. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his holy sake, amen.